Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. It's time for Inspirational Wednesday Bible Study. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. And as I always say, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to come before you guys on Wednesday night. I thank God for the opportunity. And I thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your busy schedule where we meet together on Wednesday night and fellowship in the Word of God and explore the Word of God together and pray for one another and be concerned for one another. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. And I thank God and I thank you for it. Well, tonight, I think it's a good lesson. The title of the lesson tonight is Who Made You Judge and Jury? And we're going to come from the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter, the 1st through the 12th verse. For those who have your Bibles, great. Those who have paper and pencil, get ready. This is Wednesday night Bible study, and we come to study. We come to study the Word of God together. And as always, I encourage everyone, if you have a Bible, to get it. And if you don't have a Bible, you know, I suggest you get one because it's the Word of God and you need it. Well, before we start the lesson, it's always time to go to the altar in prayer. And as always, I would like to extend the opportunity to someone who may want to open us up in prayer, you know. And if no one will, of course, I will. But at this opportunity, I'm extending the opportunity. You know, somewhere I heard that whenever we're presented an opportunity to do something for God, you know, we should always take it because we'll never know when the next one is. But I have a caller that has pressed a button. Caller, your number is 504-515. Your mic is open and you can lead us to the throne of grace.
God, I thank you, Lord God, for this night, Lord. God, I thank you because this is the day that you have made and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. God, let your word feed us, Lord God. Let it encourage us, Lord. Let it set captives free, Lord. Because you said your word will go out and it will not return back void. It shall accomplish everything that it's set to do, Lord God. And let it minister to the hearers and let us be doers of your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much. I know that's Elyria Mackey's voice. And Elyria is calling all the way from Bootville, Louisiana. Me and Elyria worked together for many years, and we both had the same desire. We loved the Lord. And over the years, I have seen her grow, and I'm sure she's seen me grow. But it's just a blessing to be in a fellowship and to come together like this. You know, I'm sure God is pleased. So, Elyria, before I cut your mic off, would you like to say anything else to the people?
I just want to tell them to be blessed in the Lord because we live in a perilous time, and if we ever needed the Lord and the Word, we need it these days. Be blessed.
Thank you so much, Elyria Mackey from Bootville, Louisiana. So the title of our lesson, because some more people can call in, is Who Made You Judge and Jury? And we come in from Matthew 7, chapters 1 through 12. I'm going to play a song, and we're going to come back and get directly into the lesson. When the lesson is over, if you have comments, if you could add to it, if anything that was said is maybe an error or need to be clarified, I welcome the calls. I welcome the suggestions. I welcome the add-ons, you know, and I welcome if if it's something that just wasn't right that I say it. And it's good to be corrected at this time because everybody else who heard it could get the corrections as well. So I just want you to know that I am open to receive, you know, correction, encouragement, you know, or whatever, a add-on, because nobody know everything. So I just want you guys to know that, and I do welcome that. And you could do that at the end of the program by pressing a 1 on your phone. The song that I picked tonight, I was listening to it, and I thought it was appropriate for the lesson. So the name of the song is Justified. You know, all of us was in a world of sin, but Jesus stopped by and took us in. And because of his blood, we became justified. We weren't always right. And even after we have accepted Christ, we still fall short. But we are justified by the blood of Jesus. And I'm going to play this song, and we're going to get right into the lessons. So you be blessed. And it's coming on right now.
If it had been for the grace of God.
Fixing to go in a lesson. Remember, we're in Matthew, the 7th chapter, 1 through the 12th verse. And the title of the lesson is, Who Made You Judge and Jury? As always, I do a little background. And Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 1 through 12, is a part of the Sermon on the Mount. So what I did tonight, I'm going to give a little background on the Sermon on the Mount. You see, the Sermon on the Mount is a sermon that Jesus gave. But the sermon is included in the entire 5th and through the 7th chapter of Matthew's. It's not one chapter. It's not a few verses. The Sermon on the Mount is the sermon that Jesus gave in Matthew's chapters 5 through 7. You see, in Matthew's 5:1-2, it gave the reason. It is known as the Sermon on the Mount. You see what happened? Jesus was teaching and preaching to the people. And at this time, they say, now when he saw the crowd, he went up on the mountainside and sat. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them the Sermon on the Mount, which is the most famous sermon that Jesus ever gave. And perhaps the most famous sermon ever given by anyone and will ever be given by anyone. You see, the Sermon on the Mount covers several different topics. If we was to summarize the Sermon on the Mount in one single sentence, I believe it would be something like this: how to live a life that is dedicated to and pleasing to God, free from being hypocritical, full of love, mercy, and grace, full of wisdom and discernment. You see, the sermon takes place relatively early in the ministry of Jesus after he had been baptized by John the Baptist and he was preaching in Galilee. You see, Jesus knew he was only here for an allotted amount of time. and he was using all of his time wisely. You see, the sermon is the longest piece of teaching from Jesus in the New Testament and has been one of the most widely quoted elements of the gospel. It includes some of the best teaching of Jesus. Many people believe that the Beatitudes was the Sermon on the Mount, and that's all it was, that the Sermon on the Mount was the Beatitudes. And for those who don't know, you know, what Beatitudes is, look in your Bible and look at it. And if you need or would like to have a lesson on it, we can. And the widely it is widely recited, the widely recited Lord's Prayer was also taught on the Sermon on the Mount. The most believers in Jesus, plenty believe after hearing the preaching and the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount contains the central theme of Christian discipleship. Let me stop right here. So after saying that, and we know tonight that the Sermon on the Mount includes the 5th through the 7th chapter, and that's Jesus really teaching and preaching in the beginning of his ministry after he had received the power and the gift of the Holy Ghost by being baptized by John the Baptist, and he started his ministry and knowing that his time was short and he wanted to give you everything that he knew you would need to live a good Christian life and to be able to love God like you should love him, but most of all to realize how much God loves you. You see, the sermon covers several topics. Most people think that the Sermon on the Mount is just maybe about this subject or that subject. But the Sermon on the Mount covers the Beatitude. Then another part of the sermon, Jesus did another sermon and let us know that we are the salt and the light of the world. And then Jesus go on in another sermon and explain that he has fulfilled the law. He didn't come to condemn it, but to fulfill it. Then he went on to another sermon, and he talked about anger and murder, which he denounced and said it was ungodly conduct. Then he went on and taught another sermon about lust and adultery. He was telling us that that was the things of the flesh. He went on and talked about divorce and remarrying, because they was used to having the law of Moses when they say give your wife away and send your wife away and give up divorce paper. He said that's what Moses said. He said, but let me tell you about divorce. Then he went on and taught another sermon about oaths, making oaths, your word is your bond, and things like that. He went on and he talked about what they talked about in the law, eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. He said, but I come to tell you about love. He went on to talk about another sermon, and he told them in that sermon that you should love your enemies. He went on, and he did another sermon, and he said, you got to give to the needy, and that was a sermon. He was talking about money. And then he went on and did another sermon because they started asking him questions, and the disciples asked him, how should we pray? So he taught another sermon on how to pray our Father's Prayer. And then he went on, and he told him how to fast, because he said, you see, these is the last days, and it's going to come to a time when you're not going to have for righteousness sakes, and you need to know how to fast, and he taught on fasting. He went on down a little bit more, and then he told him, after telling him all of that, he talked about all of the treasures and the promise that God has in heaven for you if you obey. Then he went on and told you, do not worry, because we in the world, but not of the world. And he went on and talked about where we at in our lesson tonight. Do not judge hypocritically. That's the 7th chapter. And then in that same thing, he taught again about ask, seek, and knock. Then he went on after that, if it would be in the other verses, he said the gate is narrow. He talked about false prophets, and he taught how to be a wise builder. So the Sermon on the Mount included all of these sermons, not one, not two. You see, the lesson tonight is only one portion of the sermon, but I strongly suggest that you study the entire Matthew 5th through the 7th chapter and allow Jesus to preach and teach you what is expected of you. And you could also gain the knowledge of the rewards and the promises that God has in store for you. And remember, if God said it, you could believe it. So we're going in our scriptures tonight. I'm going to read Matthew 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And it says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with that judgment ye judge, you shall be judged. And with that measure of meat, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and consider not the beam that is in your own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out that mote out of thy eyes, and behold, a beam is in your own eyes, thou hypocrite. First, cast the beam out your own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eyes." I'm sure most of all of you are familiar with this. But I want to, you know, look at it, and it's so true. And if it's God, Jesus put it in the Bible, and he taught on it, he's trying to tell us something. So as we go in the lesson tonight, I hope we see it for all that is worth. You see, it has been said that when you point a finger at someone, there are several pointing back to you. Many people use this verse, in an attempt to silence their critics, interpreting Jesus' meaning as saying, "You don't have the right to tell me I'm wrong." They know that their action don't line up with the word of God, but they don't feel you have the right to call them out. And really, sometimes maybe they know something about you that don't line up either. You know, we could be judging, and we could be pointing fingers all night long, but to see the same judging you doing, somebody could judge you, because none of us is perfect. And as long as we live in the flesh, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to have shortcomings that someone could point to you too. You see, the Bible command that we not judge others. The Bible command that we not judge others does not mean we cannot show discernment. And for those who may not be that familiar with that, discernment is used in wisdom and having an insight of the truth. You see, when Jesus said not to judge others, he did not mean that no one can identify sin for what it is. I mean, you know, all of us know, you know, some sins, some things people do, and you don't even classify it as sin because you don't even know it's a sin. But, you know, it's not that you can't identify sin for what it is, you know, based on God's definition of sin. You see, if it is a known sin, we can judge the sin, but love the person, always showing compassion. I'm going to say that one again. You know, some sins are known. Some of the things we do, you know, they're known. And we know it's a sin. If it is a known sin, we can judge the sin but love the person, always showing compassion. Remember, everyone doesn't grow at the same level or at the same time. We must be patient with one another, because someone was patient with you until you received and truly believed and turned around, because the Bible says we all have fallen short of the glory of God. In 1 John 1:8-10, for your Bible holders, 1 John 1:8-10 says, "If we say that we have no sin, We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to clean us from our unrighteousness.